This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, we are mercifully, by the grace...
In the name of a just, merciful God.
Of a just, merciful God, we are almost done with this week. We are hopefully, maybe, almost done with all the Iran talk, although I will address all your questions and concerns here. We'll talk some fraud things. We let a woman into Delta Force, not into Delta Force, but anyway, into that community. And of course, that went terribly bad. Why are gas prices staying high? You need to protect yourself at church. Someone thinks it costs $300,000 to raise a child. All that, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And you should know that I am playing hurt. Here's what's at stake. Pause for a sec. You know those Medal of Honor citations we read every Medal of Honor Monday, where we read the story and we find out this hero's, you know, been shot in both legs, and then he gets a shrapnel wound in his head, and then he keeps on going no matter what? That's me tonight. Couple different levels. First of all, woke up at 2 a.m. last night. This never happens to me. Could not get back to sleep. I'm on about 3 hours of sleep. I don't function like this. So I'm playing hurt. That's one. But that's probably not even the worst of it. Two is this. I got myself a new shirt. In case you're wondering why I wear these Houston Astros collared shirts a lot, it's actually not because I'm the world's biggest baseball fan. I like baseball. It's fine. It's Major League Baseball, believe it or not, has one of the best selections of tall shirts out there. I know. Isn't that crazy, Chris? And so it's hard for me to buy shirts. I could always go there, and they have a great tall selection. So I bought this one that you're looking at if you happen to be watching the show. Only it has this patch on the front of it. It's an H for the Houston Astros, whatever. That's not important. What is important is this is one of those shirts where they didn't put any kind of a backing on the patch. Oh, no, Chris, I can tell you've been there. It's just rubbing me raw. I think I can see my heart through my skin. At this point in time, I am wounded severely. I will try to get through the show. What, Chris? What? That's a very good point. Jewish producer Chris just said, you know what that H stands for? Hero. And you're right. You're right. I'm going to get through this 3 hours somehow, some way, like a hero. I just don't know how I'm going to do it. Anyway, we're going to have some fun tonight. I am going to get through emails because it's kind of a all-over-the-map news day. We'll get through a bunch of emails. We'll have a good time. And reminder to you, speaking of emails, that tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And you need to get all your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So let's do a cap on where we are right now, because I asked you to pray, and I want you to continue to pray. We have begun negotiations with Iran. Headline, J.D. Vance, obviously, leads U.S. delegation to Pakistan for peace talks. J.D. Vance, Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner, these people are representing the United States of America. Iran is sending two guys, I'm not going to bother pronouncing their names. They're sending two guys. They're going to sit down at the negotiating table and try to hack out a plan that somehow works for everybody in this scenario, that works for America, that works for Iran, that works for Israel. They're going to try. Apparently, Saturday morning is the day they're sitting down. I'm not going to say they're going to wrap it all up, but Saturday morning, everyone's currently flying around the globe. They're going to sit down and try to work this out. I bring this up because I wanted to reiterate what I said last night. You had a bunch of questions about it, and I'm going to address those questions. Last night, 30-second recap. You can go listen to hour one if you want the whole explanation. We are in a situation now, and life is full of these. So just look, put on your big boy pants. That's how it goes. We are in a situation now where the options aren't great. That's how life goes sometimes. The options are we negotiate a peace deal of some kind, a peace deal that will have some things in it that you're not going to like. What those things are, I don't know. They haven't started working on it yet, but just you have to think about it this way. Why would Iran accept a peace deal that is all bad for them? They wouldn't. No one does that. That's not how deals get made. So there's going to be something in there that you're going to go, wait, what? We gave them what? We allowed what? And I don't know what those things are going to be. No one does yet. But that's option one. Option one is a peace deal. It's going to make you squirm in your chair a little bit. All right. Option two, if the peace negotiations fall through, and maybe you're rooting for this. If the peace negotiations fall through, that means the war is back on again. And those options all look really ugly too in different ways. They look ugly militarily, and we'll touch on that in a little bit. They look ugly politically. Those look bad too. What we want to do right now is pray for wisdom and discernment for the people who are doing these negotiations, because I want the best outcome for you. That is what I care about. I care about the American people. I want my country to be strong and prosperous and free. That is my concern, and I want everything to work out for you. That is my concern. That needs to be our prayer. Wisdom, discernment, let's hope everything works out. And it's a very dangerous situation, and it's happening now. And if I'm being honest, it's a little bit exciting because it's so dangerous. Do you feel that at all? It's a dangerous situation. What determines the midterms may be determined now during these. What determines 2028? The stock market. A global recession or not, that might be determined now. Big, big, big deal. And I find that kind of exciting when the stakes of the game get turned up a little bit. Don't you? You ever sat down at a blackjack table and you got $50 in chips left and you decide, well, screw it. No more $5 a hand. I'm putting the whole $50 bill out there. I'm either going to bed or I'm in the money, baby. It's a little exciting. Dangerous, yeah, but a little exciting. So that's where we are. To recap, that's where we are. And Trump is currently being the bad cop. You know, Trump knows how to make a deal. He knows how to negotiate. He's being bad cop. J.D. Vance and Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff, they're going to go over there and try to be good cop. Trump is doing things like this. Headline, Trump threatens bigger and better and stronger military response if Iran doesn't comply with a deal. Headline, Trump lays out immediate consequences for any nation supplying military weapons to Iran. Trump is correctly afraid that Iran is going to use this time to stall and bring in weapons, things like that. So Trump's out there saying, don't you give them any weapons. And man, if you guys don't come to the negotiating table and make a deal, I'm going to make it hurt. That's Donald Trump being bad cop. J.D. Vance has to go be good cop. We will pray for discernment. All right? I know it's easy when we're caught up in all this and we're not talking about the things we should be talking about, the fraud and the foreigners and the communists in the United States of America and everything else. I know it can be easy, by the way, to get down. And I have told you I have been down and frankly kind of still am about the whole situation. I cannot believe we are now stuck in this situation. But all that means is we just keep putting one foot in front of the other and we'll work things out and hack away at this. Now, I understand you had a lot of questions, you had a lot of concerns, you had a ton of emails about our current situation where we have kind of crappy option A or crappy option B. What about option C? Anyway, we got a bunch of stuff like this. Jesse, tell me why the USA has not used KC-130s, those are planes, to fly over cities and drop leaflets into their largest cities like they did in World War II. I bet their citizens in Iran would love to know their Ayatollah's son is gay, so on and so forth. I'm just going to chop away at all these questions as we go through. Why are we not just dropping leaflets on the cities saying, hey, your guy's gay and you should have an uprising? We will discuss that. Before we discuss that, maybe we should drop them relief factor instead. For what, Chris? For their pains. You know they've got to have aches and pains right now. Don't tell me they have comfortable beds over there. Do you wake up and your back hurts? You wake up and your foot's bothering you. What is the pain that nags at you? Isn't that worse? It's honestly way worse than even something like stubbing your toe, because it just stays with you all the time. And whatever you're doing, whether you're working, whether you're playing, whatever you're doing, it's just sitting there like a painful shadow. It's freaking awful. Relief Factor is a supplement you can take. You take it every day, and every single day, your pain gets turned down and turned down and turned down. And then one day you wake up and it's gone. How's that sound? Call 1-800-4-RELIEF and try it. 3 weeks if it's $19.95. Just try it. Take it every day for 3 weeks. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, wonderful Thursday. All right. So the question, hey Jesse, why don't we just start dropping some leaflets on Iran? Let's have a discussion about this. Why don't we just start dropping some leaflets on Iran? Well, let's understand something that we can't understand. Let's attempt to understand something that we can't understand. A totalitarian regime. That's a hard word when you're on 3 hours of sleep. A totalitarian regime, a tyrant, a tyranny. What is it like to live under that? I don't know. I've never done it. I've never done it. All I know is what I read in books of people who have done it. And here's how it works. We obviously can picture, you know, the evil government, whatever form it takes, you know, North Korea, Iran, anything like that, the evil government that controls the people. We understand that. And we understand as best as we can understand it. And we understand secret police agencies and how they operate. You know, they show up in your house in the middle of the night and drag you and your wife out of there and pull your fingernails out and kill you. You know, that kind of horror. As best we can, we understand that. We get that. Here's something I think people forget, and I don't fully appreciate it because I've never lived under this. Maybe you've survived a communist regime and you have, but here's something we do not appreciate. Sometimes, oftentimes it seems, if you read history books, the reason that secret police show up at your house at midnight to pull your fingernails out and shoot your wife in the face is because somebody you know, trust, love, turned you in. You understand that? That's what it's like? Do you understand that that's why I have warned you specifically about COVID? And it's not that I want you to keep coming back to it, about the COVID tyrant in your personal life who turned into this vicious, violent little statist. Wear a mask. You can't come for Christmas, that kind of a thing. I know you've moved past it now. They've moved past it. Well, you say things like those were crazy times, right? I'm glad that's over. But that is the kind of person who can be manipulated by evil forces into turning you in East Germany, in the Soviet Union, in communist China. Mothers would go down to the secret police agency and say, hey, my son, this morning before he left for school, I heard him say that this government isn't providing enough food for the people. And she never sees her son again. That sounds insane, right? To somebody with values who loves their children, you would die for your kids, right? I hope you would. That sounds insane. That's what people turn into. Some people, not all. That's what some people turn into under a totalitarian regime. And because enough of your fellow citizens, your mom, your brother, your son, because enough of your fellow citizens turn into that, it makes it very, very, very difficult to organize some sort of a resistance movement. I have seen people say, why have we not seen the Iranian people rise up? There are a bunch of reasons for this. Trump even says he tried to drop them weapons, and then the Kurds stole the weapons, and Trump expressed that he was mad at the Kurds for all that. And all that stuff is understandable. But let me ask you something. You specifically in your life, you have to raise a force of 20 to 30 men because the government just turned tyrannical. You find out Democrats are back in power and they're trying to arrest and shoot every Republican they can find. You have to organize 30 men. You have to get weapons. You have to get ammunition. You have to come up with comms, communications somehow. You have to come up with comms. You have to come up with a plan. What are you guys getting together to do? You're not getting together to play chess. So you guys have to get together. You have to come up with all the materials you need and then come up with a plan to oppose the evil communists who are about to come kill you. Do you have 20 or 30 men you are absolutely positive don't work for the government? I've warned you before that group text chain you're on, the Facebook group or whatever app you're on, big group of patriots, we love to get together and shoot guns. You know there's a Fed in there, right? I'm not talking about a direct FBI employee. That may or may not be true, but there's somebody in that group who cheated on his taxes a few years ago. And the FBI sat down with him and said, well, you can lose your business and lose your home and probably lose your wife and go to prison for 2 years. Or, hey, we can make all this go away, but that Patriot group you're involved in, would you inform us on what they're saying and what they're doing? This is how it operates in totalitarian regimes. It's hard to just organize a resistance on any level from the people, and they make it hard on purpose. They make it known. Yeah, this guy's daughter turned him in. They make it known. It's difficult. It sounds easy and seems easy to people who haven't lived under it. And all I've done is read about it. But that's how it is. We'll continue next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing, wonderful Thursday, reminding you that tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed in right now. Ask me anything. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. And I'm glad you're already sending them. Gosh, tomorrow's going to be a good time. We'll pause on the Iran emails for a moment, because let's go to NATO. Quote, headline, the plan is being considered to punish those feckless NATO allies. Donald Trump, if nothing else, holds a grudge. He knows how to hold a grudge. If you wrong Donald Trump, Donald Trump is going to get back at you somehow, some way. Sometimes you love that, sometimes you hate it, but that is how Donald Trump is built. Donald Trump feels like he took a major, major political risk with this Iranian action, and he did. And Donald Trump expected our allies in NATO to come to our aid so it wasn't all on us and Israel. And like none of them did. None of them did. Donald Trump is not going to let that go. Now, there are arguments right now over whether or not Donald Trump has the power as the president to leave NATO. You hear a lot of people saying Trump's going to leave NATO, Trump's going to leave NATO. I had one of these legal expert guys I was talking to about this say, and he wanted Trump to do it, but he said, I really want him to. I'm not totally sure he can legally. That probably has to go through Congress. And so I'm not telling you we're going to, but NATO is going to be punished for it. And if you think you're upset about some things, this is Mark Rutrut. I don't know how to say his stupid name. NATO guy. Listen to him.
And we know that the Chinese are heavily investing in their defense. And of course, we look for Russia when it comes to our adversaries. But let's also be watchful what China is doing. Mm-hmm. So for all these reasons, there is this big issue of the defense industrial production. I predict that over time, you will see parts of our industry, maybe in the US, but maybe sooner even in Europe, will move into more of a wartime mindset. Not to prepare for war, but to make sure that you are able to refill the stockpiles.
Okay, what's he actually saying? That wasn't about America. That was really a message to Europe and to Donald Trump. All right. You're talking about leaving NATO. You might leave NATO. You might pull some troops out. Hey, that's fine. We're just going to shift our industry into a wartime footing. Okay? What industry? We had this talk when it comes to America many times before. During World War II, America did something the world had never seen. And even our enemies, like Hitler, they asked their people, hey, can you give me a report on what exactly is America's manufacturing capability? How worried should I be? How many tanks can they send? How many food items can they send? And Hitler was given a full report by his people. And the report was staggering at how much. And he laughed in their faces and basically said, that's ridiculous. There's no way they could do that. By the way, the report way undersold it. We did way more. We had this manufacturing base, which has since been eroded by communists and Republicans, but we'll set that aside for the moment. The point is, a manufacturing base is your power. It is what builds your military machine. It is what feeds your troops and makes the bombs and makes the bullets. The manufacturing base is your power. I know we all love, myself included, all the Marines and airmen and soldiers and sailors and everyone else who went out there and fought and died and sweat and bled in World War II. We love them and we honor them and we cherish them, and we should. The United States of America won World War II in the manufacturing lines. The enemy simply couldn't keep up. You go ahead. Take out 5 tanks. Fine. We got 10 more coming tomorrow. You can't. No one else could do it. Can't keep up. But the thing about a manufacturing base is you can't snap your fingers and create one overnight. It takes time to plan for these things. You have to have money to fund these things. You have to have energy, I'm talking power of some kind, to power these things. Europe doesn't have any of that. Europe can wake up this morning and yell till they're blue in the face. We're going to start building up arms. That's it. We're going to start making tanks and jets over here. We're going to build up our arms with what exactly? Germany doesn't have enough power to power its homes. Have you seen the reports on Germany's power bill? They decided to fully embrace climate communism in Germany, attacking, shutting down. France did the same thing, by the way, attacking and shutting down all the actual energy sectors that produce power. Now people can't afford power for their homes. Power doesn't magically just appear. You can't wake up one day and say, we're going to create 25 factories dedicated to arms. No, you're not. I've used this analogy in other ways before, but it would be like you physically letting yourself go for 10, 20 years, never working out fat foods, never working out fat foods. It's just cake and donuts all day long, and you never so much as go for a walk, and then you wake up one day, and it's time to run a marathon. Well, I don't care how badly you want to run that marathon. You can't. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Europe doesn't have those things. Europe chose communism. And now, at the prospect of America pulling out, and if you listen to what Rubio is saying, what Trump is saying, we're dead serious. We sound serious about it. Like I said, Trump is a spiteful human being. Trump holds a grudge. We're going to pull out at some level. And they're going to be stuck on their own? Too bad, so sad. And they don't have money, by the way. I brought up that point, too. Europe, all their commie politicians have, surprise, surprise, created these huge welfare programs over there. All the money's gone. All the money is being handed out in these huge entitlement programs. They don't have money to all of a sudden start building tanks, to start building submarines. They certainly don't have money to start building aircraft carriers and fighter jets. Mr. Singer-songwriter, this guy says, with the actions in Iran, if there isn't regime change, then what have we really accomplished? Sure, we've destroyed their defensive capabilities, but if we don't have regime change, then it looks like all we did was bomb some country, which raised up gas prices and killed any GOP momentum going into the midterms. The only thing I can think of is we use this theater to show off our military capabilities to the rest of the world. What say you? Says his name is Brian. Okay, well, let's talk about the good aspect of this first, because there's a lot of negative we can discuss. We have, we'll talk about it again there. What have we accomplished? But it's not nothing to reduce the number one state sponsor of terror, to reduce their Navy and Air Force by 90%. That's not nothing. That's good. It's not nothing to kill a head of state who has declared you to be the enemy, because other heads of state pay attention to that kind of thing. You drop a bomb in the Ayatollah's lap, other heads of states think to themselves, well, that's the kind of thing America might do to me if I'm not careful. It's not nothing to send a message to a bad country because the other countries sit up in their chair and they take notice of it. It's not nothing. Let's not dismiss that. If you're skeptical of this or you're angry about the whole thing, let's not dismiss that as being nothing. We'll talk about the flip side of that in a moment. Let me ask you this. Do you have a business? How many brokers do you have? How many brokers does it take to insure your business? Do you have one guy? He handles all of it. The workers' comp for this, that. You don't have one guy, do you? You have to deal with multiple brokers. All right, fine. That sucks. That in and of itself sucks. Let me ask you this part now. Where are you overinsured? Probably more importantly, where are you underinsured? Do you even know an exact breakdown of your coverage for your business, specifically your business, or did you have to buy some generic plan? I already know you have multiple generic plans from multiple brokers. Stop doing that. Contact one person, one broker for all your business insurance. That's Super Sure. SuperSure.com will, by the way, give you a full report on your current policies, which probably suck. No obligation. You might be over or underinsured. They'll tell you. And then they'll fix it all for you and make it easy. One broker, all your policies in one place. SuperSure.com. That's SuperSure.com. Paid for by SuperSure Insurance Agency, LLC, a licensed insurance agency. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing, absolutely amazing Thursday. I almost called it a Friday. Whatever. Remember, I'm playing hurt. This patch on my shirt continues to rub my chest. I'm playing through the pain, but it is very, very difficult. Speaking about playing through the pain, I'll get back to this Iran email and the rest of them here in just a moment. So we don't generally go to a coffee shop to order coffee in our house because Ab doesn't really drink coffee. She makes these healthy teas. You know how it is. And I just drink black coffee. And you know I have no coffee taste whatsoever. So just whatever black coffee is available, just give me some of that and I'll be fine. The other day, we get a wild hair and we say to ourselves, let's go out. There's this local coffee shop, this wonderful little Christian-owned coffee shop. We love them. Let's go out to this coffee shop. Let's get a pastry and a coffee for breakfast. All right. Me, Ob, the boys. We go. My youngest orders a vanilla cream cold coffee. Chris, no, don't defend.
Why are you gay?
What? No, it couldn't have been worse, Chris. Don't tell me it could have been worse. I looked at him with such disgust that he wouldn't even make eye contact with me. And then he tried to make his pitch to me that regular black coffee tastes gross and everything else. I'm just so disheartened. It's worse than the patch on my chest. Anyway, back to the guy's email. In Iran, what did we really accomplish? So I went over kind of the good aspect of it. It's not nothing to have hurt an evil regime. It's not nothing. If you're really against this whole thing and super skeptical, I understand that. I'm very skeptical myself. But let's not dismiss that, okay? But we're not going to know what we accomplished yet, and that's the hardest thing to explain to people. We don't know if there is going to be some sort of a peace plan, right? Let's say Iran, us, that we agree to a peace plan. Again, J.D. Vance, the Iranians, they're over there working on all this stuff as we speak. Let's say we all agree to a peace plan. As I pointed out, Iran is not going to agree to a peace plan that doesn't give them something. They have not submitted. Remember, they never submitted. They may want the bombing to stop. I'm sure they do, but they never submitted. They just didn't. So if they haven't submitted, then they're going to get something in the peace plan you're not going to like. Something like what? For instance, Trump has mentioned it already himself, so we can come out and say this might be one of those possibilities. I'm not saying it's going to happen. Nobody knows yet. Trump himself doesn't know yet. Maybe Iran gets to now charge a toll for every ship that passes through the strait. See, Chris is already mad, and maybe you're already mad. I get it. Look, I'm not pitching for it. But what has Iran, now let's put ourselves in Iran's shoes right now. What has Iran learned from this? They've learned some lessons, some good and some bad. They learned, well, as far as bad lessons go, they learned this. The United States of America has a military that is insanely capable. We have a military that is able to cross the ocean and just simply murder all of your leadership. We can do that. We have a military capable of doing that. Okay, that's a bad lesson. Maybe they thought they had the right anti-air defense or the right this or the right that. They learned, we can't stop them. Yeah, we can belligerently launch some drones out there and hopefully kill some troops in Kuwait or something like that, but stopping America from militarily stomping on us from the air and from the sea, we can't do that. All right, that's one of the bad lessons they learned. If you're Iran, we're looking at it from their perspective. I know it sucks because they're dirtballs, but looking at it from their perspective, what did you learn that's positive? Well, Iran has always had a plan to close the Strait of Hormuz using terror tactics like mines and drones to close the Strait of Hormuz if they were attacked by someone like us. Hey, if we're attacked, probably not going to be able to stand up to America militarily, but we can blow up a couple oil ships, then the rest of them stop. We crush the globe. Iran learned that the Strait of Hormuz, it is their weapon. And I promise you this. Cross my heart and hope to die. Chris, write this down, because if I turn out to be wrong, I'm going to have to own it on the air. I don't know how this peace plan is going to look. I don't know what the negotiations are going to look like. But I promise you, Iran is not going to sign any agreement ever that forces them to give up total control of the Strait of Hormuz. They will not. I don't know that they're going to be able to charge a toll or anything. I'm not saying that. But Iran learned that is their only card they have to play if America gets mad and comes across the ocean with some aircraft carriers and some Delta Force guys and some fighter jets and everything else. The only thing they have is the Strait of Hormuz. They're not going to give that up. So what is something that could, if we get a peace deal, what is something that could potentially be in that peace deal? They're still going to have control of that strait. And this is what I try to emphasize, that it's going to have things in it that are going to make you mad. Certainly if you're an Iran hawk, maybe you are a hardcore Zionist and you want the Iranians to be completely wiped out because they keep launching missiles at Israel and you're done with all this thing, and I get all that. And you're going to look at that thing and you're going to be like, what? They can't control the strait. We can't allow that. Peace deals have crappy things in them. That's how peace deals work. That's how they've always worked. This is not going to be some unique thing. And you can say, well, then we're going to be worse off than we were before. And we're not going to know that until the deal, if we get one, is penciled out. Then we'll sit down and analyze it. All right. We still have a couple hours. Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.